It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
This week I spoke to Green Party co-leader James Shaw on the landfill levy increase. As stated before, they're hoping to increase it from $10 per tonne to $50 or $60 per tonne by 2023. We also spoke about the Suicide Prevention Office, which was recently set up by the government to deal with New Zealand's concerning high rates of suicide. I begin by asking James Shaw why New Zealand has one of the highest rates per capita in the developed world in terms of waste production.
Well, I think if you look at it historically, because we've been a very low density population country, we've had this sort of view, which is that we can export our waste into the environment without any consequence, and we're getting to the end of that point, really. The other thing is, so our attitude to waste has either been chuck it in a hole or send it to China. And last year, China told us they didn't want it anymore, and we're also running out of places to put holes in the ground full of rubbish. So we've had a pretty lax attitude towards waste. And accompanying that has been a very low cost of disposal of waste compared to other OECD countries.
Have there been any plans from the Green Party, at least, in pushing for more domestic ways of dealing with our waste? Because as we've seen with China and other overseas, there's a pushback in terms of exporting the waste.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, one of the things that we're doing is to propose an increase in the levy set for landfills that take household waste. Currently, it's about $10 a tonne. That's set 10 years ago, so in real terms, that's actually declined. And we're proposing putting it up to $50 or $60 a tonne by mid-2023, so it would sort of go up in stages. And that would bring us closer into line with other OECD countries that are better at diverting waste from landfill.
Is this a cost that should be carried by households, considering a large amount of our waste in landfills is from agriculture or from the building industry?
Yeah, so we're expanding the landfill levy to cover all types of landfills, such as industrial and construction demolition waste. At the moment, we're not looking at agricultural farm waste because that tends to get handled on farm, and it just requires a different. It does require handling, but it just requires a different strategy because it sort of falls outside the system that we currently use. And so that money then gets ploughed back into reprocessing and new industries to help to kind of take waste and turn it back into valuable materials.
So we've seen, I guess, chucking it in a hole doesn't work, as we've seen with the Fox Glacier landfill disaster, basically. So what other solutions is being pushed by the Green Party in terms of other ways of managing the waste rather than in landfills?
Well, if you look at, there's two things, right? First of all, the best thing to do is to design products that don't actually have waste materials built into them, and either in terms of packaging or anything like that. And so one of the things that we're doing is working with industry to say, well, look, are there ways that you can actually eliminate waste from the process right at the very start? The other thing that we're working on is a circular economy notion, which is teaming up businesses that can take waste and turn it into items of value and to kind of keep those things in circulation for as long as possible before it does, essentially finally turn into an item of waste. And at that point, the question is, does it have to go in a landfill, or is there some way that we can reprocess the basic material and use it again?
Is the hope that with the increased levies, this will change the way consumers view products, or are there other ways as well?
Look, I mean, it's really interesting. We're getting, you remember a couple of years ago we banned single-use plastic bags. At the time we thought, we might have to sell that to the public. Actually, what we found was that there was a massive level of public support for that, and having done that, it sort of hasn't stopped, right? People are writing to us every day and saying, what do we do to handle New Zealand's waste, especially plastic wastes, from going into either our soils or into the rivers and into the oceans. And so the proposal that the Eugenie Sage has put out is really just trying to get a grip with that. Because as you say, we have one of the lowest rates of recycling and reprocessing materials in the Western world. And there's a lot of catch-up that we can do without doing anything particularly radical. We just need to adopt best practice from other countries.
And with these increased levies, what areas of investment or support are you hoping that these are, that money goes to?
Yeah, well, it's. I mean, there is an opportunity here to really start a whole new industry in New Zealand. We've got kind of bits of it around the country. You've got groups like Wanaka Wastebusters and others who are fantastic at taking waste and repurposing it and getting it back into circulation. But I think that we really need to scale that up because at the moment it's a bit of a cottage industry around the edges, and that needs to become the mainstream.
Has there been any push in terms of recycling more types of plastic domestically?
Because,
that's one of the concerns, that we only recycle type 1 and 2 at the moment, and there's all the other types as well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's kind of part of the overall program. We haven't made any final decisions on that, but there's kind of two things, one of which is to expand the types of plastics, as you say, that we can reprocess onshore and reuse onshore. The other one is that there may be types of plastic that we can't, and then you've got to say, well, how badly do we need to use those plastics? You know, can we actually use the ones that we reprocess for, for those uses instead?
I'll shift on to the kind of second topic I wanted to touch on today, which was the opening of the Suicide Prevention Office. In terms of the Green Party, how are you hoping this task force will grow in supporting the well-being of the community?
Well, I mean, we're really delighted about it. We... You know, as part of our confidence and supply agreement with Labor, secured a commitment to ensure timely, high-quality mental health services for all New Zealanders, but we also had a particular focus on young New Zealanders, people up to the age of 25, as a way of trying to make sure that people are then set up for life. And so the opening of the Suicide Prevention Office, we think, is a real critical step in the right direction.
Mm. And how will this this Suicide Prevention Office be culturally responsive? Because there is an overrepresentation of Māori and Pacifica people in these statistics.
Yeah, there is. And it absolutely needs to partner with, Māori and Pacific communities and also providers that are already operating in the field. We have also increased the mental health workforce and community funding for Māori and Pacific communities. And so I think those that kind of increase in funding for those organisations and those staff as well should mean that the Suicide Prevention Office has a good partner to work with, or has good partners to work with in those communities.
Mm. How does this task force fit into the current government scheme in terms of the wellbeing budget and the investment put in there?
Well, if you remember last year, we put a staggering amount of money into mental health services over the course of the next 4 years, that investment will need to continue. We're essentially taking what we have of New Zealand's mental health infrastructure, both in terms of government-provided services, but also independent and community services, and really supercharging them, because we do acknowledge that there is a mental health crisis in New Zealand, and it is one of the top priorities for this government.
Are there any specifics you know of the way this this office will work, or is it still quite in the early stages?
It is, yeah, it is still early stage, and I'm not close enough to it to be able to say. But this office, along with many many other initiatives in the mental health space, are all kind of in their infancy. There has been a lot of really fantastic work done over the last several decades by a lot of operators in the area, but we are really, kind of building a whole new service, a whole new range of services here, with lots of different services for different people, different kind of age or ethnic or geographic distributions. And so it is going to take a while to get that up and running.
Mm.
But we are actually putting the necessary investment into it, which is a good thing.
Yeah. And moving into the new year, are there some initiatives that the Green Party will be really hoping that there'll be more funding or support for? So as you mentioned, particularly around youth, are there specific areas that you'll be focusing on?
Yeah, I mean, we were sort of instrumental in the startup of a pilot for community-provided mental health services for 18 to 25-year-olds called PIKI, and it's just operating in Porirua, north of Wellington, and we want to ensure that gets rolled out to the rest of the country because it really is an example of best practice.
Mm. Oh, do you have any more details around how PIKI works?
I'm not close enough to it.
I'll look into it.
Yeah.
No worries. Was there anything else you wanted to add in terms of this new initiative that's being rolled out?
Well, I think it is a recognition that we do have a very severe mental health crisis in New Zealand, and that we do have one of the highest suicide rates in the world, in the Western world certainly. And it does require significant investment from the public to ensure that we can actually finally get on top of it. And I'm really pleased that as a government we are.
Mm-hmm. Because I guess it's hard to pinpoint one specific reason, and sometimes that's not helpful to ask, right?
Yeah.
So how do we look at this issue in terms of holistically, in terms of like as a community, how do we solve it? But it's hard to ask even that question, right? Is there one solution?
Yeah. That's right. There isn't one solution. So if you take, for example, the area of housing, you know, we know that having an unstable home life is a leading cause of mental health issues for people. And so all of the investment that we're putting into emergency housing, ending homelessness, building state homes for people to live in, trying to kind of take some of the heat out of the housing market so that first-time buyers can get into it. You know, all of that work, which is billions and billions of dollars, it isn't tagged as mental health spending, but it has an effect on mental health, right? If we can fix the housing crisis, which will take years, but if we can, then that will alleviate one of the biggest causes of stress for people. It won't eliminate all of them. There are other things as well, but, you know, that sort of, you know, is part of the picture, right? So you've got to do that. You also have to spend the money on the actual mental health services themselves, because there's no use just pouring billions of dollars into mental health services if you don't fix the root cause.
Mm-hmm. And just a final point I wanted to touch on. In terms of all the money being put into mental health, are there still specific demographics or areas that still struggle to access, even if the services are there? Are there access concerns?
There are, and that is one of the reasons why we're investing so much in community providers, because they are usually closest to the hardest to reach populations, right? So that involves, working with as you said earlier, Māori and Pacific providers, church groups, you know, you name it. The funding that we're putting in to mental health isn't a single monolithic system. It's beefing up the state provision through DHBs, but it's also putting in funding into community providers on the ground. And then the idea is that over time, you know, that should operate as a sort of a full ecosystem that is able to ensure that we do get to those population groups that are otherwise hard to reach.
Mm-hmm. And in particular as well, is there a push towards more support for migrant communities as well, or language barriers, particularly Asian communities?
Yeah, it is. And that's obviously, a challenge, because in order to work with that, groups who either speak English as a second language, or in some cases actually don't speak much English at all, you need to have, providers who are fluent in those languages themselves. And that requires a bit of investment and quite a lot of lead-in time to help develop those services.
You can call 1737 or text 1737 anytime to talk to a trained counsellor. Lifeline is also 0800 543 354, and Youthline is 0800 376 633. Remember to vote in our poll on Twitter regarding the landfill levy. We'll have a kōrero at the end of the show and see the results. We've also had some interesting texts come in. So someone's texted in, said that the manufacturers that make the products and push for those products to be used in everyday scenarios is mostly responsible for the prevalence. When it comes to the law, the manufacturers can't do these things everything. So basically the texter is saying that it's the responsibility should lie on the manufacturers more so. I've also had, so we've had a text from someone that says, ban Chinese from buying all the houses, !! Bill. I don't know, man. That pisses me off straight up, full on. Like, I think I'm justified in saying I don't like those kind of texts. I think that's just pretty racist.
Yep.
That kind of rhetoric, saying that all Chinese are buying homes. You know, people migrate, people come to New Zealand. And, you know, there are complex things at play. I understand the frustration in terms of housing. But, no, I don't think it's fair to paint one specific group, one specific ethnicity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts from over the table there, Devin Lloyd?
Just seconded.
Seconded. Yeah, come on, man.
Yeah. Not on. Like we can have more complex discourse around why there are issues in terms of housing, why there are issues in terms of healthcare, but to just say one specific group is responsible for it is not on. Mm. We also had another text in. Peter has texted in and says, the way to solve our mental health crisis is to get government out of our lives and out of our pockets. Such a drag they are on all of us. They can only help by reducing their influence.
Good old Peter.
That's one position, but I guess at the same time, you know, I think the government has a lot to do in terms of the structures in place and supporting people and accessing things. But thank you for texting in. No thank you to Bill, though. We're going to go for a break and then also play one of my favourite songs, You're So Cool, by Jonathan Bree. Catch you guys in a bit.
That was James Shaw for The Green Party. The Wire.